When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Over to Phil.
Great, thanks very much, Brian. As always, we are going to just begin our time around tables. There's a question at the top of your outlines there for a quick fire discussion. Do you think we naturally find it hard or easy to believe that God loves us, and why? So you can have a couple of minutes to talk that through, and then I'll pop back up. I'm going to come back in there. It's really great to see you, by the way. Can I just add to Brian's welcome and some new faces among us? You're really, really welcome among us. You join us really at the end of a four-part series in this chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 11. This Gospel, this eyewitness account of Jesus' life. And we've been thinking about this one miracle that he did, which was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And as we've looked at this chapter, we've seen that the disciples needed to realise that the Christ, the Messiah, is far greater than they had yet understood. That is, that not only could he heal and help in this life, but that he could take away death forever. And therefore, that the salvation that he's bringing is far greater than our wildest dreams. The prospect of real, eternal, full-bodied resurrection life through faith in Jesus Christ. It is life that is possessed now by the believer, but experienced fully then. But if we were to move on from chapter 11 at this point and move on to chapter 12, we would have missed something very important that John, the gospel writer, wants to communicate to us. That is, that John wants to communicate not only the power of Jesus to give eternal life, but the passion of Jesus for his people. Just look down at that very famous verse in verse 35. Jesus wept. John remembers the tears that rolled down the cheeks of the Son of God. He remembers perhaps Jesus with his head in his hands. Can you picture it? Covering his eyes, shaking as he wept at the death of one of his people. And so we need to consider not only his power, but his character, and more particularly, his love. Charles Wesley, who many of you will know, he became a Christian somewhere around here. I get confused. There's all kinds of Wesleys becoming Christians near this site, but Charles as well. He wrote these famous words, "Love divine," speaking of the love of God, "all loves excelling." Well, that's the subject we're thinking about today. I remember as a 14-year-old boy very vividly the day I began to know the love of God for me. And it was like heaven on earth. It's been said many times that to know the love of God is to experience heaven on earth. And continues to be when he gives me the grace and the sight to see it and to know it. There is nothing like knowing that despite everything, despite all of our sins and failures, which are many, we are loved. It is, I think, and we come to the question that we were thinking about, I think probably the hardest thing of all to believe. We may well believe that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and that he will raise us from the dead before we believe that he could love us in the way that he loved Lazarus. But that is precisely why John, the gospel writer, did not leave out his tears, the character of Jesus. Two things about his love for his people. Number one, a passionate love. Number two, a personal love. Lots of ink has been spilled over the years. You may have seen some of it over the centuries about this verse, Jesus wept. Why do you think he wept? You thought about that? He knew he was going to raise him from the dead a few moments later. There are many theories. One of my favourite commentators, J.C. Ryle, has done a survey of quite a few people over the centuries, and he summarises the theories here. He says, some think Jesus wept to see the general effects of death and sin on humanity. Some think he wept to think of the unbelief of the Jews. Some think he wept at the thought of the sorrow that Lazarus would go through by returning to a sinful world. That's one theory. Some think he wept because he was thinking of the death he knew that he would have to die to save Lazarus. But I think much of this is speculation. And I suggest that John gives us a very simple answer to why he wept in the very next verse. Verse 36, the Jews around him, looking at him, see how he loved him. It's obvious, really, isn't it? But John makes it plain. He wept because he loved Lazarus all the way through the chapter. This has been a theme at the very beginning. Mary and Martha send the message to Jesus saying, he whom you love is ill. And later on, John says, notes that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It's very clear. He wept because he loved Lazarus. But the important question remains. Is this about his general love for all people? It's possible. Or is it about his specific love for his own people? You thought about that? I'm convinced that this is about Jesus' love specifically for his own people. Lazarus, after all, was one of his followers. And the context, I think, is very important and makes this clear. Just turn back with me to chapter 10. Chapter 11 obviously flows out of chapter 10, those famous verses about Jesus being the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Note there, I know my own, and my own know me. 10, verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them. And if you come with me now, sorry, this is the only paper chase we're going to do, but if you come with me now to chapter 13, verse 1, you will see this again. We could go to any number of places, actually. Chapter 13, verse 1, a few verses later. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour, that is, the hour to die, had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You see that? Throughout John's gospel, Jesus is concerned with his own. That is, those who would believe in him. It is not, after all, the whole world that he prays for in chapter 17. We won't go there now. But he prays for his own within the world. Now, you might think, how does this change things? But I think it does. The point, therefore, becomes in chapter 11. The point becomes that Jesus says, if you're one of my people, this is my love, this love is for you. This is my love for you. If you would come to me, this would be my love for you. This love would be for you. It is special, it is focused, it is specific, and it is the privilege of his people to be loved like this by the Son of God. But what kind of love is it? I think that that it is love that if the Bible did not say it, we would not or could not believe it. See, we talk quite a lot about the love of God, don't we? The love of God for his people. But I think what we normally imagine is a kind of general favour, like the rays of the sun. If you remember the sun, do you remember that? We used to see that in London. That like the rays of the sun, warm, general and distant. A kind of general favour, a benevolence. That's how we think about the love of God, I think, probably, normally. Perhaps like the good headmaster of the school who, in a kind of general way, wants good things for the pupils. Well, John wants to show us that the love of the Son of God for his people is passionate and personal. And that is a very different matter altogether, isn't it? Firstly, a passionate love. There is mystery here that has thrilled and baffled people for 2,000 years. Whose face did those tears roll down as Lazarus lay in the tomb? It was the face of God. The Word made flesh. The Son come to reveal the Father. You think about that for a second? Those tears were rolling down the face of God. Raises the question, what kind of God do you believe in? Is he like this? And those tears came from a heart that loved Lazarus passionately. And John really wants us to get this. That's why he's put it in there. You see twice he mentions Jesus was deeply moved. You see that in verse 33. He was deeply moved. And you see it again in verse 38. He was deeply moved. Now that word deeply moved is very strong in the original. It means almost angry or indignant. I think you have a footnote actually that clarifies that. Angry, indignant. Have you ever been angry and sad at the same time at the death of a loved one? You ever felt that? Deeply sad, but also angry that this could happen or should happen to them. Do you notice also, both times he feels this deeply moved, he moves towards the tomb. So the first time in verse 33, he's deeply moved and his spirit is greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And the second time, verse 38, Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. And so it is a fierce kind of love that the Son of God has for Lazarus that compels him and drives him to save him from death. It is a love that weeps for him. And a love that makes him angry at his suffering. It is a passionate love. But notice also it's a personal love. You see that in verse 36? See how he loved him. Don't know if you know your national insurance number. I do actually, and I was about to reel it off to you, and then I realised I probably shouldn't do that publicly. We have a number because, in a sense, we are just a number to the government, a national insurance number. But John wants us to see that the love of the Son of God for his people is not like that, it is personal. And individual. Think of Jesus calling each one of his disciples by name. Peter, Andrew, Philip, Nathaniel. Think of him waiting for the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, knowing her as an individual and loving her. Think of him with the blind man in chapter 9, seeking him out and saying, "Who do you think I am?" Loving him as an individual. And now with Lazarus. He wept because he loved Lazarus. I've been thinking over this week, you know, Mary and Martha sends to him saying, you know, "Him whom you love is ill," at the very beginning. Why do they put it like that? How do they know that? Well, I take it they've seen Jesus with Lazarus, patiently answering his questions, talking to him, laughing with him, loving him personally. What a mystery that the Son of God should love us like this. What a privilege to be one of his own. A passionate love and a personal love. Well, I've just got two implications as I close. Firstly, see how I love you. See verse 36 again. Those words, see how he loved him. I take it the message of the Lord Jesus to each one of us, if we are his people, is through that, see how much I love you. See how much I loved him. See how much I love you. That's why it's there. It is recorded so that we might each know how much he loves us. And if you are a Christian here today, did you know that the Son of God loves you enough to weep for you? His love for you is passionate. His love for you is personal. We naturally think, well, if you're anything like me, you naturally think, well, oh, it could never be true for me. Lazarus, yes, maybe. But it could never be true for me. Think of my life, my failings. My love for him is so pale, so pathetic. It could never be true that he loves me like that. But then again, notice that it is not that Lazarus loved Jesus. He's never described like that. He who loves you is ill. No, rather, he whom you love is ill. We don't know who Lazarus was before he met Jesus. Perhaps he'd been the local drug dealer selling prohibited herbs to the youth on the street corner. Perhaps he'd been a decent, upstanding citizen with a good education. We don't know. Was he bubbly and outward going, or was he quiet and introverted? We don't know. We don't know whether he was straight or gay. We don't know whether he was intelligent or not so much. We just don't know. We don't even know how old he was. Could have been 18, 19. That would explain the grief. Or was he 60? We just don't know. One thing we do know, he was a rebel against God, like the rest of us. And Jesus had set his love on him. It was not about how much he loved Jesus, because he hadn't. Jesus says to all who believe in him, "See how much I love you." Not about how much you've loved me, but that I've loved you. And the second implication, just as we close, I will not leave you in the grave. If you are one of his, I think we are supposed to hear these words too. Jesus say to us very personally, "I will not leave you in the grave." The very idea that you, being one of my people, should remain in the grave, it actually makes Jesus angry, that idea. He will raise you up to have life with him forever. There's a psalm that puts it like this. It says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know that psalm, Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, I can't help but think that this is the moment where that is most clearly seen in the gospel. Precious in the sight of the Lord Jesus is the death of his saint Lazarus and the death of all of his people. Love divine, all loves excelling. Well, that is the love we've been talking about today. Actually, I think if we really grasp this, what it means that he wept, well, it'll make us weep for joy to know that kind of love. Just want to end with this. This is the love we can have by coming to Christ. If we will not come to him, then we refuse this love and this life and remain in darkness. And there may be someone here today who just needs to hear that. That is the clear message that is set before us in this gospel. Come to the Son of God, and you will find life and love forever. Well, it's an obvious choice, isn't it? Let me pray as I close. Father, we thank you so much that, as wonderful as it is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that he can take away death forever, that there is even more that is wonderful about him, that he loves with a passionate and personal love each of his people who come to him. Thank you for your fierce love for us, the Lord Jesus, and that you will not therefore leave us in the grave, but you will raise us up to live forever with you. And we pray for anyone here today who has not yet come to you. Please would you help them and help us all to see who you really are. And we pray in your name. Amen.